Welcome to Historical Corner with Chet Wallace. Mr. Wallace is an author and historian and has published such titles as Stories of the Winecoff Fire, a dedication to the memory of the 119, about the worst hotel fire in American history, and Two Wings and a Star, the life and times of Sheriff Chester Baudouin, about his grandfather who was a hump pilot and Louisiana sheriff for 20 years. Mr. Wallace has a special interest in many historical topics and is a historian at the Edison Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida. Join us and take a step back in time.
Hi, folks. How's everybody today? I thought this time what I would do is talk about a podcast that I did a few years ago, actually a couple years ago, at the beginning of my program in American Studies. So some of you might know this. I'm in my last semester of my master's in American Studies at Kennesaw State University. And it was either the first or the second semester, I don't remember which, I took a class on public history, and it was focused on Southern hip-hop. And I got to know one of my classmates in that class. I can't remember his last name, but his first name was Carlton. And he was a hip-hop musician himself, having a group called 1225 that I believe is still performing in an Atlanta area there in Georgia. And I have an interest in Scott Joplin, the king of ragtime. I can play just about any piece he ever wrote. He's most famous for a piece called The Entertainer that was popular in the 1970s because of a movie called The Sting that was directed by George Roy Hill and had Robert Redford and Paul Newman in it. It was a Best Picture of 1973, I believe. Now, the podcast itself, it was a project that we had to do for this class on Southern hip hop. And we decided to record the podcast actually in the Sturgis Library on the KSU campus in one of the study rooms. And we met for a couple of two or three times to record it. It was about a 13, 14 minute podcast, but we actually only had to submit a few minutes of it. So I decided with this second podcast that I'm doing for Historical Corner that I would basically use the podcast that we recorded a couple years ago as the podcast itself, and I would do an introduction like I'm doing right now. So the podcast itself involved myself being a fan of Scott Joplin and knowing a lot about his life. Now, Carlton talks about Southern hip hop. We both actually talk about Southern hip hop, but we talk about the correlation of the hip hop life from today's time and how it paralleled Scott Joplin's time period, which he lived from he was popular, and I should say, in the late 1800s to early 1900s. He would pass away in 1917 of syphilis. Carlton talks about the Southern hip-hop and mentions groups such as prominent groups nowadays, such as Outkast and Goody Mob, Andre 3000. Our professor for that class, Dr. Regina Bradley, was in the process of writing a book about Outkast called Chronicling Stankonia, The Rise of the Hip-Hop South, which was released in February of 2021. This podcast was recorded sometime during the fall of semester of 2019, if I remember correctly. Now, it's about, like I said, a 13-minute podcast, and we only had to turn in a short segment of about 5 minutes. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start the podcast in just a second, the original podcast, which I have the entire recording, and I'll let the podcast speak for itself. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carlton.
And I'm Chet.
And this is the Perspectives in Music podcast. This week, we're going to be exploring the genres of ragtime and Southern hip hop and just looking at the correlation between the two, the similarities, the differences, and how they all make sense together.
Okay. To introduce myself, I have been playing piano for 40 years and have been teaching also for about 20 years. I became interested in ragtime when I was young and have been playing ragtime ever since. I can pretty much play every single piece that Scott Joplin wrote, who was the king of ragtime. That's my part of the, I'm very versed in ragtime. And Carlton, how are you?
Like you, Chet, I've been engaged in Southern hip hop since I was a wee lad, if you'd say. I've listened from everybody from Outkast to Trick Daddy to Giddy Mob, and I've just kind of been immersed in the genre all my life. So it's been cool to kind of just look at the, I guess, the scholarly correlation between the street life of it and just bring those two together.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. So both of us will come up with a good podcast. You know,
Sounds. So in looking at perspectives here, I guess, what influence does, I guess, the white perspective play on ragtime as a whole?
Ragtime was derived originally in the late 1800s from marches, and then and syncopation was added to it, so that's what kind of... And also, ragtime also, not only marches, but also it derived from spirituals that African Americans had written and sung, and syncopation was added, and that's how ragtime came about. And so ragtime existed mainly from about the late 1800s, about 1895, I would say, to about 1917 when Scott Joplin died. So it was, it lasted for about, what, a good 25 years.
Yeah, sounds like.
There's a difference, a big difference between ragtime and jazz, which would come later. Ragtime was more of an organized syncopation. There was no improvisation involved. And then when jazz came about, that was the big difference between jazz and ragtime, that jazz was improvised. So it was not organized as much as ragtime would be.
It's interesting you say that, Chet, because I think hip-hop came around on similar bounds. Hip-hop, and Southern hip-hop in particular, was fueled by funk. Funk was more... I guess it was more freestyle. It was more just getting together and feeling the groove. When hip-hop came around, it was about bars and patterns and like a rigid order. So it's interesting to see the progression from ragtime, which is more structured in itself, to jazz, which is more freestyle, back to funk, which is, I guess, freestyle, that continuation of that freestyle, and then back to Southern hip-hop, which is back to that structure. I think we see by looking at people like Goody Mob or Outkast or even T.I., you're able to see the structure and how they present their artistry. Whereas this is the image we're trying to portray. This is what we're trying to get over in terms of ideals. And we do that by presenting the art in a certain way, by the certain inflections, the certain tones that are used. All that is done for a reason. So I can see that kind of that being a parallel to ragtime.
Yes, you know? Yes, very much. Okay, Carlton, that was interesting. I saw a lot of the parallels with what you were talking about. The thing that I found interesting also in doing my research on, I knew about Joplin already, but doing my readings, our readings in the class, was that in Jesmyn Ward's book, the fact that she had, her father had left home to be with another woman, parallels Joplin's life because his father also left home to be with another woman. And also the fact that Jasmine Ward's mother had, she worked as a cleaning woman for white and affluent families, parallels Joplin's life, because Joplin's mother also was a, she washed clothes for white families. And she actually had she got her son Scott piano lessons from a German piano teacher.
Oh, wow, because she was the cleaning lady.
Yes, okay. That's right. That was, and also an interesting parallel to Ward's book.
So, I don't. That's, it's interesting because it sounds, in spite of Joplin's life of hardship, kind of moving around, your mom's a cleaning lady, dad isn't around, but you were still able to use that to fuel the artistry in a sense of, this is what I'm going to do, this is what it's going to be.
Right.
And I think that's interesting because you see a lot of those same, you know, ideas and understandings in Southern hip hop, particularly, I think, with Goody Mob, especially on their first album, Soul Food. You saw them being like, look, you know, like we said in class all the time, the civil rights didn't fix everything. There's people here that are still struggling. We still don't have access to reliable food sources, the cleanest water. There's still oppression taking place in our environments, and things aren't being done for that. So it's almost taking those almost social ails that you experience and putting it into the music as a driving force in order to do it.
Right.
So it's just wild to see that Scott Joplin did this late 19th century, pre-20th, and then Southern hip-hop comes around late 20th century,
right,
and you're still dealing with a lot of the same parallels, a lot of the same themes, you know, right, in both.
That's accurate, yeah.
So I was wondering, what were some of Joplin's ambitions with his music? Do you have any insight on that?
Yeah. Joplin, for most of his life, had written ragtime, and he wanted ragtime music to be elevated to the status of, like, classical music.
Okay.
So toward the latter part of his life, he decided to write opera. And not necessarily ragtime opera, but just opera. Okay. Along European-type opera that had arias and choruses and parts of, and things of that sort.
Okay.
He wrote, actually, he wrote an opera called The Guest of Honor, which is lost to this day. The music is lost, and nobody has ever heard it before. But his second opera, Tremonisha, survives, and it was a very important opera because it was written toward the latter part of his life, published in 1911. He had attempted to perform it in 1915, a couple years before he died, but he hardly had any money. He had no scenery, and he played all the parts on the piano himself. It was more of a dress rehearsal,
right,
than anything. And so that was the only performance that existed, and there weren't, like, I think there were like 17 people that showed up to it, so it wasn't. Eventually, years later in the 1970s, it would be redone, and it would have an actual premiere at that point. But Tremonisha is very important, the subject matter behind it, because the opera is a celebration of African-American music and culture. It depicts the importance of education for the black race,
okay,
which was a subject that was, you know, ahead of its time back in 1911. So the basic story of Tremonisha is that Tremonisha is the main character, a woman who wishes to lead her African-American race out of ignorance, but she is kidnapped by a local band of conjurers. And the conjurers, you can see racism back then that were keeping the African-American people from becoming educated. So that you can see the correlation there. So she is kidnapped by the conjurers, and she is returned with some of the characters wanting to punish the conjurers. But Tremonisha persuades them to forgive and forget and to let them go free. And that's basically the story of the opera. But it's a very, like I said, a subject that was way ahead of its time.
Right.
So Carlton, Concerning Goody Mob, what type of topics did they express concerning the perspectives in music?
So they really spoke on a lot of the experiences that they went through because of, I guess, white supremacy and the injustices that brought about. So on a song titled Cell Therapy, they speak on, I guess, being a part of gated communities, but not in the way we think about it. We're talking about communities where there's a curfew on when you can come in and come out, and whether they felt as though, is this something that's done to keep us safe and protect us, or to keep us in here and just amongst each other? So just kind of those things that you would see in these inner city neighborhoods, but when you'd go to places like the suburbs, you wouldn't see these things. They would speak on, like, why is this a thing? Why is this happening? And right. Although they came alongside, like, a world-renowned group, like Outkast, they were blackballed because they were speaking on these matters that were seen as injustices. No one wanted to touch this with a 10-foot pole, pretty much.
Right.
So it's just, we're coming up at the same time as Outkast, which is one of the biggest groups ever. We're making music in the same place. We got a lot of the same people. But where we differentiate is on subject matter, and that gets a totally different perspective and gaze on what their music was. A lot of people didn't really, you know, pay attention to who Goody Mob was past their run until an artist like Travis Scott samples them on 5% 10 on his last album. And this is one of the biggest groups in Southern hip hop. So for them to not get their flowers during their time, it's just, man, that can only be a reason of their subject matter, of them being blackballed and seen as, oh, we can't support this because this is too radical. This is too much. This is too extreme. So I think what makes these two genres most similar is the influence from outside perspectives on the art and the artists. You're not able to have this music unless you have that influence of someone else on what you're doing.
Okay, Carlton. Well, that's interesting. Thanks for that perspective of Southern hip-hop.
And thank you for that perspective on Ragtime, Chet.
Okay, you're welcome. This is Chet Wallace and
Carlton Yondavu, and this is the Perspectives in Music podcast, and we're signing out.
All right, so I hope everybody enjoyed listening to that podcast that me and Carlton had recorded a couple years ago. Keep in mind that that was the first podcast that I had ever done, and actually, it, to my knowledge, it was never published. It was just a project that we had done. So I hope that you enjoyed it. It was enjoyable for me, especially because it was something that a new experience that I had never done before. I look forward to doing my next podcast in the future. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do yet, but I hope you enjoyed it, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for joining us for Historical Corner with Chet Wallace. We hope you'll join us next time for more fascinating historical perspectives. Keep up with Mr. Wallace at www.thechetwallace.com.